All right, and we're live on the Blacklist Sessions. My name is Jay, and I have a very, very interesting guest today. I'm really excited to have Priscilla on the podcast. How are you going?
Good, thanks, Jay. Thanks for inviting me.
Oh, always happy to have you here. So, Priscilla is the founder of EduSize for Kids.
Yes, and, yes, I am.
You're doing some really, really interesting stuff with that. So, I was hoping that you could tell me a little bit more about what you're doing.
Okay, so can I start with why we got started?
Yeah.
Look, EduSize for Kids was started because of one of my own children and my own personal experiences. My son, he didn't want to do any team sports, Jay. He would always sit on the bench. He would, never want to participate. And I'd be one of them parents. Like, I would say, come on, I'll try and role model. Let's do it together. Yeah. And he wouldn't get on, or I'd be like, you know what? Get on, son. It's time to get on. He still wouldn't do it with the tough parenting style. Mm-hmm. I'd bribe him with a toy.
Yep.
He still wouldn't get on. And I know how disheartening it can be for parents when your child doesn't fit in. So for starters, I was like, how can I improve my child's confidence to get on the field or anywhere with physical activity? I can't have him lacking that confidence.
Mm.
So to build his resilience and agency, I thought, why not create some books that will teach kids to develop those gross motor skills?
Okay, great.
Yeah.
So it was mostly centered around confidence for your son. That was why he didn't really want to participate.
That's right. That's right. I mean, he didn't want to let people down. He's a bit of a perfectionist. He doesn't mind me talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, he felt like if he didn't catch the ball or he didn't kick it or, that people would laugh at him. And that's an all too big experience, in my opinion, with children. And I study child development as well. I'm doing my Bachelor of Education. I'm almost completed that.
Mm-hmm.
So together with my personal training experience and my teaching experience, I've seen that all too common with children.
Yeah. So you find that that's like the main driver. It's confidence. That's probably the vast majority of cases.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, another thing that, another reason or why factor why I created the books too are just the statistics. They're alarming, Jay. Like, the health concerns of children are, it's just a common thing that you see everywhere. The stats are alarming. Can I share with you some stats?
Yeah, go for it.
One in four children, backed up by the Department of Health and the Australian Institute of Health and Welfare, they have stated that one in four children aged 5 to 17 years of age are overweight or obese. That's one in four.
That's a crazy number.
22,000, I've mentioned this before, 22,700 weight loss stomach separation surgeries have been done in adults in the years from, I think it was 2014 to 2015. That's a staggering number. Are we not alarmed by that? Like if we don't prevent this in our children now, what are going to be the numbers in their future?
Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, and it's a really interesting problem, this one, because if you go back through all of humanity, there's always been a scarcity issue, and it's only probably been the last 50, 60 years where there's been like an overeating problem, and all the food that we do have just has such density in calories, and so I guess because it's so new, it's something that we're not accustomed to, because we could look back like say 100 years, like 200 years ago, okay, well this is what happens if you're not eating enough, and there's so many examples, but it's only very recently that we're getting all these issues with obesity.
Yeah. Look, two-thirds of Australians, I think they say like 63% of Australians have had procedure or treatments done. I believe that's around 2,700 just last year, and it's costing the government $30.4 million.
Wow.
Imagine if we could get that money instead of, when there's a problem, curing it then. Why can't we do prevention? Why can't we stick that money into the education for children to learn? And that's what my mission is. Let's teach them now so we don't have these problems. The numbers are staggering right now. Imagine. It shocks me. It's something that I'm so passionate about.
It is. It is really shocking. I'm hoping that a lot of the technological advances maybe in the next 50 years will help to prevent some of this. Like, they work out how to make these foods taste just as good but have like less dense amounts of calories. I'm hoping that can help to solve the problem. But it is a tough one. It is a really tough
Can I ask problem. You a question, Joe?
You just did.
Are you a fussy eater?
yes and no. I do really enjoy foods that I find taste good, but if I absolutely have to, like, I'll eat something else.
Yeah, look, I think that's a lot of the problem too. Let's talk about you know, children and the way that they don't want to eat things. I think we're us parents, sometimes we're too time poor to go, come on, like these are the benefits for eating good and this is why we should do it. Instead, we're just, you know what, just eat what you want to eat and we'll get you something else. There's too many choices. I think that parents need to really start teaching their children about, you know, eating properly at home. For instance, I found I was doing that and I was adding up in their lunch boxes how many snacks and packet food that I put in. And being a teacher also, I've noticed too often children will open up their lunch boxes and they got poppers in there, they got packet foods, some even have soft drink, you know. At home we have this snack box and I tell my children, now I got two boys and they eat a lot. I think they're starting to put me out of pocket when it comes to shopping expenses, and you probably put your mum through the same thing. I'm realizing that I need to be really smart about my budgeting and shopping and buying a packet of carrots, slicing them up, you know, it's a dollar for a bunch of carrots, you know, it's not very expensive at all. But what we do is we have a little snack box at home and I'm like, kids, if you're hungry, pass the meal times that I prepare for you and the snacks that you already have, you can have a help yourself box. And sometimes I don't like what's in there, but tough. You're hungry, that's what you eat. There's carrots, mushrooms, celery, and lots of healthy choices there.
Well, that's a really good idea.
Yeah. Do you want one? I can prepare one for you.
I think I would need one of them.
Okay.
So I know that for myself, one of the problems I seem to have is because I'm incredibly busy and I'm constantly working. I'm always out on the road as a musician.
Okay.
I find that the choices I seem to gravitate towards are really quick, really easy.
Yes.
So what do you think is one of the solutions there for, say parents that are really time poor, you know, that same thing, they're working a lot, but they want their kids to eat healthier. What do you reckon is the best way to help them to kind of get into that habit so it's an ongoing thing?
I'm going to say this, preparation is the key, okay? I'm busy myself, okay? I'm a uni student, I'm a single parent, I work a part-time job and I run a business and I'm here doing a podcast with you, but I can still manage to try and get my kids to eat 80% of the time, great. Well, maybe even 90%, okay? We all like to have a bit of junk food, everything in balance, but preparation is the key. On Sunday or any day, pick a day that suits you the most, you know, do your budget, do your planning, do your food shopping, you know, and plan everything and prep everything, you know, cut up your carrot sticks, your celery, you know, meal planning is definitely like when we did our bodybuilding competition, I did that 3 years ago. It was all about preparation. If you're going to eat, you know, seven meals a day, you want to have those containers ready. So what I did is I cooked in bulk. So, you know, like a server, you're going to just serve it. So you cook all your chicken together, you cook all your fish, you know, you have a big batch of vegetables ready and all you're doing is getting your tongs and you're serving and you're putting into your containers. You can weigh it. But if you're not, you know, doing a bodybuilding competition, you don't really need to weigh your food. Just know your portion sizes. Mm-hmm. So preparation, definitely the key.
Yeah. So it's really about taking ownership and accountability.
Absolutely.
Of that.
If that's what your goal is, if you want to be healthy, then prepare for that. You know, what do they say? If you don't plan, you fail,
right.
You know, that's right. You fail 100%. To plan or plan to fail, you know, either way, you need to make sure that you're preparing. Give yourself time. It's important. Like when you want to get somewhere, we don't just hop in the car and drive, not knowing where we're going, right?
Yep.
What we do is before we get in the car, we plan our day, where we're going, we look at our calendar, what we got on, we pack the car accordingly with five different bags sometimes. If you're a mum, you'd understand that, or a dad.
Yep.
You know, but you plan. Make sure you plan. Otherwise, you're going to fail.
Yeah, well, that makes perfect sense. And it's a really good analogy with the with the car thing. So let's talk about the bodybuilding, because this is a really interesting...
I only did that once.
Yep.
Once was enough.
So how did you get into that?
I had a tragic circumstance happen to me a couple of years ago. And I guess, you know, when everyone finds their back up against the wall, they want to do something that makes you feel fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it was training. I always loved training, but I never had like a focus of why I wanted to train. So I started training at Revolutions at Emu Plains, and I was surrounded by people like all walks of life, like women, men, you know, all training, all big muscles. And I was like, gosh, I'd really like to have some of that muscle. It'd be amazing. So I talked to my prep coach at the time, Chris Schmidt, and he was really amazing. Together with him and his wife, Renee Schmidt, we both, you know, calibrated a plan for me to get on stage. And it was something out of my comfort zone. Like even sitting here doing this podcast is a big thing for me, you know, trying to get, I'm always someone that's hiding behind things.
Yep.
But I was like, you know what, how good would it be to be on stage? So So we prepped it. It took 20 weeks. 20 weeks of preparation, of hard training. I'm talking 6 days a week. And I think towards the end, maybe 2 months prior, there was no junk food allowed. So that was pretty hardcore.
That sounds pretty tough.
Yeah. You really have to be determined to stick through it. They say a lot of people that go through prep don't make it. You know, you really have to be strong-willed, determined to know what you want. I'll be the first to say that the bodybuilding probably wasn't the greatest on my health.
Yep.
It looked amazing, but, you know, what it did to me on the inside, probably I was a little bit more sensitive with cutting out most foods and getting used to just having most foods. So when I come back from the diet, I was kind of a little bit sensitive.
Yep.
But it could have been already. That was just my body's way of making me aware that I was sensitive to those products.
Yeah, for sure. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
No, a lot of folks, yeah, they do have some difficulty with bodybuilding because it's an extreme sport.
Oh, it is. Like for me, like getting up, I remember when I was getting up on stage, I was like, oh my gosh, I've got to the finish end. My hair's done, you know, makeup tan, and I'm ready to go on. But I was shaking to my core. I couldn't believe that I actually, like, this was my moment and my moment to show, you know, the world that I could do something that was so disciplined, you know. I think my first competition, I came second in first timers.
Mm-hmm.
I came third in the novice division and fourth overall.
That's which fantastic.
It was amazing. I mean, I'd love to do it again. Yep. I always said in my 40s I would definitely do it again. So I have hit my 40s. Maybe we'll do that soon. You want to join me?
I think I should.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? Oh, that's right. Like, I find with the training, like, I love the training component, and I go to the gym a lot and train a lot.
Yeah.
But the problem where I suffer is, once again, it comes back to diet, because it's not just like, just trying to work out exactly how to say it. Like, it's not just being strong-willed over, say, a week. Like, it's such a long period of time.
Yep.
So, what was it that really kept you focused that entire time?
Look, Jay, I believe that consistency is the key. With the diet, it's good to be flexible, okay? Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of people say, you know, I want to get on a diet. I want to lose weight. I want to do all these things. And what they don't realize is that sometimes when we think of diet, we think about, oh my gosh, I'm going to miss out on all those great foods that, you know, we have, aka chocolate, you know, junk foods, McDonald's, or whichever it is that you choose that you like. But I find being flexible, Jay, is something that you have to do. So let's say, as a rule, 90% of my clients, what I do is we do 90% we eat well, the other 10% we eat something we want. So most bodybuilders call it a cheat night.
Yep.
Okay, so, you know, we eat good all the time, and then say Saturday night, you know, we'll go out and we'll eat something that we really like that we're missing out on, but don't overeat. So, you know, if you like to go out and eat with your friends, like, plan it on Saturday. So that way all week you might stay disciplined, but you got that to look forward to. You're not going on a 6 week no junk food stuff till you reach your goal. Right? So every week you're not rewarded, but I guess you can say it in that
sense. Get a bit of respite.
That's right. That's right. And then you're on a mission to do it again. Or I've learnt from another trainer recently, Naveed, that, you know, replace those calories. So let's just say I don't have, like, the bodybuilders do it, you know, once a week. Instead of waiting for that once a week, let's just say you invited me out to lunch today and I'm like, oh, I don't want it to stop my lifestyle and cut my diet out. So I'll just go, okay, you know, instead of having my normal 300 calorie morning breakfast and morning tea, let's skip morning tea and let's try and account for those calories, what we're going to have for lunch, and skip a few meals. Does that make sense? So learn that calorie deficit and replace it with what you're going to have and stay in that guideline.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, so you're not missing out on life and you're still dieting and still looking after yourself.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Yeah. So you go and have your lunch, it might be a big lunch, and then you go, okay, we'll have a very small portion for dinner, so then your calories are
That's
on track.
Right. Try and make up for it, yeah? So don't get to that point where, oh, I need to unbutton my jeans and, like, have to lay on the lounge for 2 hours. Like, you know, eat, but don't stop it, swap it.
Yep.
Okay. I heard that before. Don't stop it, swap it. Make it smaller. Instead of eating all the chips, just leave some. Yep. Offer them to your friends.
It's a good idea. I'll have to keep that.
Would
in mind.
Would you like some cake? Okay, just leave a bite for me.
Yeah, take the cake. Okay, great. So you're quite an active person as well. You have a lot of interesting hobbies and things that you like to do. Did you want to talk about some of your hobbies?
Oh, one of my hobbies. Well, we won't talk about the fact that I can't sing or I love to dance. Yep. Some of my hobbies. I like to do adventure sports. Yeah, I've been skydiving a few times in my life. I still don't trust myself to pull the cord myself, though, so it's always tandem. I've done that 3 or 4 times. I like doing adventure sports such as caving.
Yep.
That was such a great experience for me out at Jenolan Caves. Have you ever been caving?
I have been to Jenolan Caves, and I do like to go find caves, but nothing that's been, like, real extreme with ropes and abseiling.
We will have to do it one day. I remember this one cave. I'll never forget it. We got into this cave and you got the torches on your head, on your helmet, and you go through this little S-bend and you got to squeeze through it. And then when you sit inside the tunnel, it's complete darkness. You've never experienced darkness like it. Unless you've been in the outback somewhere and you get out of your car and turn the headlights off, you'll never ever experience darkness like it. And it's just peaceful. Yeah. It's amazing piece. You know, you hear everything, absolutely everything. And it was such an amazing experience. Back to probably not caving. Let's think about what else do I like to do? I do modeling sometimes.
Yep.
That's something that I guess I did to build my own confidence.
Mm-hmm.
I work with an amazing photographer, Colin Bates, and he's just a brilliant photographer to work with.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Oh, yep. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, back on the cave thing, we did a holiday over to Hawaii. It's probably 3 years ago
okay.
now.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was looking up all these things to do while we're in Hawaii.
Yeah.
And I saw that there were, like, these little caves come up, and I said, okay, well, look, we've got to go there.
I had
probably about 5 people with me.
Okay.
And it was so hot in Hawaii, because it's always hot in Hawaii.
Absolutely.
And I'll never forget my fiance Andrew was so mad because we were all walking through this sand, and it was so hot, and, like, we didn't have, like, the proper shoes and stuff, and she, by the time we got to the cave, like, she was furious at me. She's like, oh my god, I can't believe you made me walk through all this. But when we got there, it was amazing, because they're only really small and it was kind of connected to the ocean, so the water would rush in and out, so
obviously
not very safe, but hey, life's not very safe.
No, you gotta take risks. You definitely have to take risks. Like, you know what, can I just say, that just comes back to children again. I feel like we you know, we cotton wool children too much. We live in a cotton wool generation, or, you know, wrap them in a bubble. I think children really need to, you know, get out there and take risks and challenges, or they're not going to emancipate from the adults around them. So, you know, how do we get children healthy and, you know, doing all these things that we do, caving and taking risks and challenges, if we're going to protect them all the time?
Well, that's right. You know, if I didn't come home with a couple of cuts on my knee, then it wasn't a good day.
You won't learn from that, will you? Will you do that again for whatever cut your knee?
Yeah, of course. And it's the same thing as, like, I guess, immunity for children. Like, the only way kids can develop a really strong immunity to a range of, like, bacteria and viruses, all that kind of thing, is to experience them when they're really young, and then the immune system goes, oh, okay, well, that makes sense. You know, like, I'll deal with this because this is a threat.
Yeah.
But otherwise, the body just freaks out if it hasn't seen it
before. It's true. Like, I mean, let's think about, how old are you, Jay?
28 now.
28, okay. You're not as old as me, but I'm 40. And look, I don't know if your childhood was like mine. You live on a beautiful property out here. I'm sure you've made a few mud pies in your time, right? You
had one
a
bit or two.
You know, like, we used to play with dirt. We used to have dirt in our fingernails. We used to climb trees, fall over, get on your bike and ride where the drains were. And so, I mean, I don't encourage that. But how cool was our childhood? My mum and dad would say, you know, don't come home till the lights come home, you know. And then all of a sudden you'd hear them, you know, the street lights, you know, and you'd hear them, you know, like, it's dinner time, you know. And I think you hear a couple of other houses do it too. Or you'd be on the street playing cricket with your friends. You know, like, we don't see that anymore.
Yeah. Why do you think this has happened?
Look, I think the causes for this is, you know, families are time poor. I think that's definitely one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think we've ever had to work so hard before, you know, like usually, you know, mum would stay at home, cook, clean, look after the kids. Now mums are working, dads are both working, grandparents are working, you know, retirement ages, you know, like they're not retiring as they used to, you know, we don't have time to do these things with the children. Also, I think social media has a lot to blame for these as well. Let's talk about that. I mean, now, like, I mean, maybe back in my childhood, there wasn't as many things happening. I mean, they're probably still happening, but we know about them now. So I think because we see all this on TV, children disappearing or, you know, children hurting themselves, we don't want to do that. And we don't want to take time off work if our child has a broken leg. Like, who can afford that? We've got bills to pay.
Yeah.
You know, so I think, you know, we're time poor. We don't allow that, and we want to keep our children safe because we can't afford to have that time off.
Yeah, I think the news and social media probably have a lot to do with that blame because, yeah, we're just so much more aware now of everything that is going on in the world, and it seems like it is in your backyard the way they present it, but I'm sure, you know, it's like you're taking the whole world and then condensing it into one suburb, but it's not really like that. So I would say, well, I would ask, you know, how do you think parents could go about, like, opening up their kids to more opportunities and the ability to have the kind of childhoods that we did without, I guess, putting them at risk and then having that worry?
Okay, look, I've been an educator for a while, and something that we have introduced into centres are barefoot play and tree climbing. So it took a lot to develop those policies and procedures. But, I mean, if you're afraid, stand nearby. You know, I mean, I guess we can't just leave our children unattended and we can't, like, not supervise them.
Yeah.
You know, that's definitely something that's vitally important, you know. But stand nearby, let your child climb a tree and be nearby, you know, like scaffold that learning. You know, put your foot here, maybe if you hold your hand here, you know, be there to help them through it. And then when you see that they're confident, you can back away a little bit, but still supervise.
Yeah.
You know, barefoot play, you know. We allow children to run around with no shoes on, you know, like once upon a time we had to keep their shoes on all day long. Who wants to do that? When I'm at work, I want to kick my shoes off as soon as I get home, you know, like, but, you know, you have to allow them to be free, you know, believe that children are competent. They have that ability, you know. If we keep cotton wooling every single step that they do, how are they going to learn to take risks? How will they learn? When we make a mistake, when we fall, we learn, right? Okay, I know not to do that again, you know, because we learn, you know. My youngest child, I swear he's going to be a builder. He builds all these Lego constructions, and, you know, he's been asking me for ages. He's only five. He's been asking me for ages to go into the shed and play with a hammer and nails. And I was like, oh, I don't want him to hurt himself. That's the last thing I want him to do is to chop his finger off. But do you know what? He's quite resilient and a very agent little self when it comes to it. I was surprised. I got the wood out. I got the nails, you know, I got the hammer, I got the hacksaw, and I stood by him and I scaffolded his learning. Put your hand here, hold it like this, and before you know it, I can walk away now and I just know that he's going to be doing the right thing and learning. You'll be surprised. Give children a chance.
Yeah, yeah, that's a great way of doing it, I think. Something I've noticed, even with my generation, like a lot of kids my age, when we were growing up, like we had great childhoods and, you know, went and played in the dirt and did all those kind of things. But I noticed even with my age group, there seems to be a real lack of resilience. Like I have a lot of the people from my former high school still on social media.
Yeah.
And it just feels like whenever they post anything, like they're just so dejected and, you know, there's so much worry, like, in what they're saying. And for me, like, I think they're looking at the world the wrong way. Like, they should be looking at the world and seeing all this opportunity, but so many of them seem to have this attitude of, you know, it's not my fault, it's the world's fault.
Yeah, you know? Look, I think we definitely have to change our thought processes on that, you know. Like, I'll never forget my childhood, the games that we played, you know, the imagination. Like, we might have been called dreamers back then, yeah? I don't know how many great plays I played with my brother's little action men's and, you know, pretending I was somebody, being imaginative and creative. Those types of things are going to get lost if we keep providing, like, the world with textbook children. Yeah, we can't just read things and let's just, you know, children don't function that way. We need to let them be who they want to be, you know. Like, I imagined I remember once singing to the block of children in my flats. What was a song by Whitney Houston? I forget it now. Sorry, yep. I got a mind blank. But, you know, I loved that singing to them. And I used to think I was a singer and I could dance and I had crowds of people in front of me. You know, like I can't sing now. I pretend that I can. But, you know, like, we need to increase children's imagination, let them be who they want to be. You know, like we don't have to fit them into a societal norm that everyone feels like, you know, oh, just because you have a boy, they have to play soccer and they have to play football. Why can't they be ballet artists?
Yeah.
Be good for the girls.
yeah, that's right. You know, I have a huge, huge problem with the way kids are schooled in Australia. I think they're, you know, as what you're saying, like there's so much standardization. And I understand that from like an analytics perspective because, you know, you want to have metrics that add up across the board and...
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. Whatever. But something I notice a lot, because I also have a Bachelor of Education and okay. teach in high schools and primary schools,
yes.
is that so many of these, especially boys, because boys tend to be a little bit more rowdy.
They can you know, be.
Something I notice a lot is, like, there seems to be a massive overdiagnosis of problems. Like, so many boys that, like, I'm obviously not a medical professional,
yeah.
But it seems like there's a serious overdiagnosis of, like, ADHD when, like, all these kids, they're just a bit naughty, you know? And that's just the way they are. And the way that they're taught is very much a sit down, listen, you're going to learn. Whereas I think what they could do with a lot of these boys is give them a little bit of responsibility, like take them out, you know, and learn in a different way. And I think if there was a bit of an overhaul in that area, I think Australia would be doing a lot better in the global education standards, which, lo and behold, are rapidly dropping against the rest of the world.
Yeah, that's true, Jay. I must agree with you. Look, I went to a seminar just recently and we talked about a lot of worries that parents have. And one of them was, you know, I think one of the parents did state, you know, my child is outspoken. You know, my child can be the one that says things that other children may not want to hear. I don't want my child labelled as a bully. You know, I believe all children are different. Whether they be an extrovert or introvert, you know, whatever it is, you know, they're going to, you know, we have to try and, I guess, scaffold them into what their attributes are. So, you know, if they are outspoken, if they do have them leadership qualities, well, let's enhance them. Let's give them leadership skills, like you said.
Yeah.
You know, if they're, you know, introverted and don't like to get out there, well, let's work on things that they're good at to bring them out of their comfort zones.
Yeah, well, I found that was one of the best strategies I used when I was teaching is, you know, these kids that would muck up the most and they'd be the loudest and the rowdiest, you know, you give them some responsibility.
Exactly.
You say, okay, well, look, I got a job for you. It's a really important one.
Yeah.
Do you reckon you can handle it? Like, yeah, of course I can handle it. Like, I want you to watch everyone and make sure they're paying attention.
Give them some responsibility. Like, go with what they're good at. You know, why are we labelling these children bad? This person that has them great, you know, talking skills, you know, they could be in our Parliament House one day debating an important concept. Why are we labelling them bad because they speak that way? Instead, give them a public speaking role. You know, like I think primary education is starting to change, but I think the focus of, you know, literacy, mathematics, science, like all these concepts, we need to concentrate on them, but also give our children life skills. Life skills to be resilient, to know what's out there in the world. Tell them no once in a while. Like children are always like, you know, it's always a yes generation. We want to keep our children happy. You know, we're spoiling our children too much. We're not exposing them to the emotional, like negative emotional needs. You know, tell them once in a while, you know, you could do better. Or, you know, it's, you know, in a real world, this is how things are. You know, it's okay to say no.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think that's why there's been a rise in so much of this this culture that you see now where people are just so offended by everything.
Yeah.
You know, because they're not used to hearing no
used to hearing
and
no.
not having everything go their way.
I know. It's true. Like how many times that you hear in the supermarket, and I used to be one of these parents, you know, oh, Mum, I want a toy. Okay, you know, and you buy it. We can't afford to live like that. No, son, now I say you wait till it's your birthday or we have a concept at home, save your pocket money and you can save for it yourself. That way they're realising the importance importance of money, how hard it is to get, and they have to work for it, and they mm-hmm. have to save it. You can't have everything right now. Mm-hmm.
And responsibility.
Responsibility, that's right.
That's it. So, yeah, so you're running a radio show with a good friend of mine, Mario Beckus.
I am.
Called Success and Wellness. Yes. So how did this come about?
Mario and I just started to have a great radio relationship. It started with him inviting me on his show on 999 FM, I think it was called. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we just had a great laugh. It was my first time. I was so nervous. But he just made things so comfortable. He's a great host to work with. Mm-hmm. And the next day he called me and just said, hey, you know, would you like to have your own show? You know, because I talked to him about my goals of overcoming my fear of public speaking and talking to people and really mm-hmm. coming out, because I really want to make an impact with Edgercise for Kids. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, this could really help you. So, we decided that we'd call it Success and Wellness, and we'd talk to people about their strategies on their business and how, you know, they can see the attributes of wellness. And I believe there's so many different attributes. So I concentrate mm-hmm. on 8 dimensions, but, you know, it can contribute to success, because I don't believe if you don't have any of them working in balance together that you can feel holistically successful.
Yeah. What are they?
Okay. So at the top of my head, occupational and academic success. Mm-hmm. That is where, you know, like where you are at your educative state, you know, and how are you in terms of your workplace wellness? You know, if you're not working in a place where you feel completely comfortable, or you haven't, you know, you're studying something that you're not really into, mm-hmm. how can you feel amazing and in that aspect of your life? There's emotional as well. So I believe, you know, if you're not feeling mentally healthy, I think that that can play a big role today, you know, with how well you feel with being successful. Also, the commitments to family, so community, you know, like if you aren't supported or you don't feel like you're belonging to some community or place or family, like I don't feel like you'll also be successful feeling, you know, successful as well. There's a financial component of it, you know, if you don't feel like you're managing your money properly, or, you know, don't have enough of it, you know, maybe you could feel a bit inadequate in that terms of success. Mm-hmm. Internal success as well. You know, how do you keep a positive mindset? And your why factor as well. So, yeah. I mean, I could keep going. I can't remember all of them at the top mm-hmm. of my head, but, you know, all these things I believe play a part. You know, like you might find that you have an amazing job, you have lots of money, however you got no one to come home to. Does that make you feel successful? I don't know. What I'm trying to do with my research is trying to show that when everything's working kind of balanced, if you take one element out of there, you're not going to feel that holistic success.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay, yeah. Great. So what are some of the goals that you have with Edgercise?
Oh, there's so many. Am I going to spill the beans?
Oh, you just let folks know as much as you want them to know.
Okay, look, you know, I started with writing the book. So we've got 7 books. I have them here as well. I'll show you afterwards. Mm-hmm. So we decided on them first. Then our plan was to make ebooks, which are just about to release in 2 weeks. We're going to have them on all platforms. We're going to have them on Amazon, Apple iBooks. They're about to be released, so we'll just keep that between us for now.
Yep.
we also want to do free events. So for me to make a big impact on the world, I want to give my time to the children in Australia and mm-hmm. and overseas if we get that far. So I'm going to create events, massive big venues, kids venues, you know, an opportunity for everyone to collaborate together on, you know, healthy snacks, healthy exercising, provide them a show. I'll be there. I'll try and show you my cool dance moves.
Yep.
I want to just be with the children and show them how great it is to feel energetic, healthy, you know, from the inside out as well. After we do the free events, you know, we're going to concentrate. We've already started on this, staff training. So we do staff training with childcare centres and primary schools if people want to learn how to utilise our books and as resources in their programs, and teach them how to make sure they're doing the correct techniques when it comes to exercise. We don't need them injuring anybody.
Yep.
we do one-day incursions. So So we can come in and bring one of our books and do some exercise with the children for an hour. We do 7-day intensive programs. So it's one book every day and show them how to, you know, do that as well. And our dream, and that's what's in the wheels in motion are coming now, is the program for the professional development seminars. So we want to have crowds of professionals coming to us, you know, personal trainers, teachers, mm-hmm. and teaching them how to utilize our 40-page program into their service. So they're all the cool things that we're hoping for Edgercise for Kids, and maybe McDonald's could get on board to the Happy Meals. You know, do you know they have a healthy Happy Meal?
I didn't know that.
Okay, so they do. They have that option of the wrap, and they have the, you know, the fruit and a yep. bottle of pop-top water. And I'm thinking, you know, if they put a little tiny mini book in there, that would be amazing.
That would be good. So, hey, McDonald's, listen up. Yes. Oh, that's great. Well, it's yeah. really good to have goals. I actually have to go and try and work out all my goals again because I smashed them all this year. So that's all
done. That's so good. So good.
Now I'm like, man, what am I going to do? So I got to try and, you know, work out the rest of them. So we'll get there.
Yeah.
We'll get there for sure. So what's that one piece of advice that you think you would give your former self? Like if you go back to when you were, you know, just finishing high school.
You're asking me the question that I ask my radio people.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I always say, if you could give yourself some younger advice, what would it be? Yeah, and yep. Most of the people that come on our show aren't too old either, so it's like, I don't mean you to say you're old. You know what? look, relax. Relax. Mm-hmm. You know, for me, a big stress, and I think a lot of people will agree, is trying to empty that to-do basket. Why do we feel the need to do that all the time? You know, every day something new will accumulate in that basket, mm-hmm. and every day the day goes on, you complete what you do. Take more time to relax. Take more time to be mindful. Be in the present and stay right here. If we don't think too far ahead, we can set ourselves goals. That's great. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe break them down in smaller tasks and just know something happens during the day goes on, the day will end, the sun will come up, we'll start again. Mm-hmm. And it's been a big stressor in my life over the last decade, just trying to rush life. Mm-hmm. Slow it down a bit. We don't have forever.
Yeah, well, that's good advice, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, so was there anyone that you were really hoping to meet in your life that you really aspire to be like, or you're really interested in what they're doing?
Oh, that's a tricky one, Jay. Now you put me on the spot. It's always hard when you get these questions. I'd like to meet Tony Robbins.
Yeah, he seems like a bit of a guy.
Yeah, I went to one of his seminars maybe, it would have been a decade ago now. And I was very skeptical mm-hmm. of everything. I am like that. But by the time the show had finished and the 3-day seminar was over, I was just so empowered. Mm. I was just, I walked on fire. What are you, the fire walking things? Yep. I couldn't believe that I did that. I actually hesitated at the start. And then, you know, it was like, yep, just get it done. It was an amazing thing. But again, with those seminars, if you don't follow through, you know, you'll find yourself back at square one. But to know his story and to see what he does, and he's just amazing. You know, yeah. you just want to aspire to be someone like Tony Robbins. I want to speak like him because that's something I fear.
Yep. Yeah, so yep. public speaking.
Yep.
That's another goal for the future.
I think that's our goal. Well, we're doing it now, kind of.
Yeah. Oh, that's
one
great.
On one.
That's really good. Well, yeah. It's been so, so awesome to have you on the podcast today.
Thank you.
If someone wants to get in contact with you, like McDonald's, because they're going to get in contact and we're going to get those books in the Happy Meals, how would they do that?
Look, you can contact us on our website. It's www.edgercise4kids,
yep.
And it's number4.com.au. Mm-hmm. So they can contact us on the website if they like, or you know, we've got Facebook and Instagram pages as well,
yep.
that we can you can contact us on as well.
Right, great. So yep. Edusize for Kids, EDUCISE,
yep, number four. And kids.com.au.
that's yep. great. Oh yep. Yes, thank you so much for coming on. It's been great to
thank you,
hear your story.
Thank you so much.
All right, so you've been listening to the Blacklist Sessions. Thank you guys for tuning in. Really appreciate it. I've got a lot of interesting guests coming up, which I can't wait to share with you. So in the meantime, you can listen back to some of the other episodes if you haven't heard them already. And we'll see you later.